Barack Obama has some words of advice about the flu.
Stay home if you're sick. Wash your hands frequently. Cover your sneezes with your sleeve, not your hands.
So I guess everything we need to know about H1N1 we learned in kindergarten.
Come on, wash with Elmo. Wash, wash, wash.
And when you have to sneeze or cough, do it into the bend of your arm.
Oh, sneeze into your arm with Elmo. Achoo.
Uh-huh. Great job.
Oh, Elmo feels a real sneeze.
Achoo! Excuse me on the takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. Wednesday, September 2nd. I love that. Elmo Obama. I'm John Hockenberry, joined by Celeste Headlee. Good morning, Celeste.
Good morning, John.
It's a wet sleeve you got there.
At least I'm going into the crook of my arm.
So coming up this hour, car sales from last month favored Ford, but not General Motors. Is GM a clunker? Gmail was out yesterday for about an hour. Did you survive? We'll talk about it. And good things in the Canadian and European healthcare system. We're going to fact check a story we did yesterday on healthcare.
But first, Dr. Richard Wenzel, former president of the International Society for Infectious Diseases. Dr. Wenzel, what's your best piece of advice to avoid getting swine flu?
Well, I think from the beginning, from the public health perspective, obviously the best first step would be to accept the vaccine. And the pregnant people, obese people are extremely high risk for severe disease. They ought to be first in line. Second, obviously, hand washing. This virus can get on the hands, and you don't want to touch your eye, your nose, your mouth, where you will infect yourself if you happen to pick it up from the environment. And I think we ought to consider something else. Stop shaking hands during the flu epidemic.
Oh, no. We have to stop shaking hands with people? What will we do when we say hello?
I think you're going to knock elbows or just raise
fists.
Your hand up in the air.
Hugs are out. Hugs are out.
Hugging is safer.
Richard Wenzel, stay with us. We'll be back with you in just a moment. But first, everything you need to know this morning.
Well, in the headlines, a top Afghan official is dead after a suicide bombing east of Kabul. The deputy intelligence chief is one of at least 21 thought to have been killed in the attack. The attack comes as the United Nations releases a report stating that opium production in Afghanistan has dropped significantly, down by 10% since last year. Poppy farming is down by more than 20%.
Here in the U.S., firefighters taking on the massive wildfire north of Los Angeles are getting some help from the weather. More humidity and a slight break in heat has helped them get it more than 20% contained. But fire officials say winds could still pick up today. And south of those fires, Hurricane Ximena has weakened to a Category 2 storm. That's good news for Baja California.
Markets are down across the board. On Wall Street, all major indices went down yesterday more than 2%. The Dow kicks off today at 93.11. The S&P opens at 9.98. And the NASDAQ starts trading at 1969. Futures trading suggests a negative opening when Wall Street gets underway a few hours from now. As the fall starts, people are starting to take more precautions against the H1N1 virus. Are you going to stop shaking hands? That's what Dr. Wenzel says. We'll talk with him more about precautions in a moment. But what are you doing differently to protect yourself?
My name's Mary Pat, and I will be giving my daughter a lot more cinnamon in her food. It's antiviral, and looking for other spices and vitamins that will help boost her immune system.
Let's all wash our hands and give each other advice on H1N1. Are you changing your behavior? Tell us the story at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Celeste Headlee. No handshaking.
No handshaking.
No handshaking. You know, yesterday listening to President Obama lay out the rules for dealing with H1N1, it sounded a little business as usual, didn't you think?
Stay home if you're sick. Wash your hands frequently. Cover your sneezes with your sleeve, not your hands, and take all the necessary precautions to stay healthy.
All the necessary precautions.
Isn't that pretty much what your
healthy.
Mom tells you to do all the time?
Stay healthy. Dr. Richard Wenzel, we welcome him back to the program. He's the immediate past president of the International Society for Infectious Diseases and chairman of the Department of Internal Medicine at Virginia Commonwealth University, just advising all of our listeners to lose the hand-holding, the hand-shaking anyway. So, Dr. Richard Wenzel, it seems business as usual with the recommendations coming from the White House and the CDC, but I got a theme of isolation. If you feel sick or if you suspect that you're sick at all, get yourself away from everybody else. Does that typically work, and how do you implement something like that?
Well, I think it's going to be complicated because there are a lot of conflicts. Remember that adults shed this virus, any flu virus, for 6 or 7 days. But the stresses to stay away from work in this tough economy is going to be enormous. And students who are in college, for example, trying to get an A grade so they can get into grad school or be at the top of the class, if they start feeling well after 2 days, it's going to be almost impossible to get them to stay away from school.
Well, it's the federal recommendation is 3 to 5 days is what you should take off if you feel that you're symptomatic. You're suggesting that isn't even enough.
From an epidemiologic point of view, that's a little short because, again, we have this long shedding period. And for children, kids who get influenza can shed the virus for weeks, sometimes 2 to 3 weeks. So, again, with mom wanting to get back to work, it's hard to believe they'll keep a child home for 2 weeks instead of sending him or her back to daycare.
Well, it sounds like your suspicion here is that Americans aren't inclined to take this terribly seriously based on what's coming out of the White House and your anticipated response that people are probably not going to, you know, take time off of work.
Well, I don't think, even if they take it seriously, I think there's so many social and economic pressures that it's going to be difficult. On the other hand, there is a little complacency in the United States compared to what this virus has been shown to do in Latin America, where I've visited a couple of times in five countries. There, when you see young 20-, 30-year-old, 40-year-olds on respirators, and you see what this virus is capable of doing, you have to say, so far, maybe we've been lucky in the United States, but we cannot be complacent.
How do you put Americans on a footing where if they were to show up at the workplace with a mask on their face, and the CDC does suggest that one type of mask would be appropriate, that they don't get laughed out of the office?
Well, there's always going to be humor in the office, so I don't think we'll probably stop that. But I think we have to just continue to educate people that all flu is serious. Even seasonal flu kills 36,000 Americans a year. And then we add the potential of another flu with a different age group at risk, young adults rather than the very old infirmed 80-year-olds that have underlying heart and lung disease. So we have the potential, at least, of seeing more Americans with more influenza and potentially more serious disease.
Finally, Dr. Wenzel, and you know, you're past president of the International Society for Infectious Diseases. I mean, you're the expert here. If someone is in a high-risk group, pregnant woman, a young, obese person, and you've seen the people who've been most seriously affected by H1N1, what can they do to isolate themselves to make themselves less vulnerable?
Well, there's no question that they're at high risk, and they should be first in line for the vaccine, first certainly. They should wash their hands, stop handshaking with other people. And if they get exposed to somebody with influenza, go ahead and take the oseltamivir, the Tamiflu, prophylactically. It's an excellent prophylactic drug. It appears to be safe in pregnancy, and it's much safer for them than getting influenza.
All right, Dr. Richard Wenzel, immediate past president of the International Society for Infectious Diseases, chairman of the Department of Internal Medicine at Virginia Commonwealth University. Thanks, as always, for helping us with that very well-informed advice.
Andrew Foster, not really shaking hands with people hardly anymore, not even really wanting to hold hands in prayer. And if I do so, I'm usually going to the bathroom.
People are giving us their advice for dealing with H1N1 at 877-8-MY-TAKE and mytake at thetakeaway.org.
Well, you know, we just heard him say that 3 to 5 days, which is what the CDC recommends, is not long enough. But, you know, John, we also heard him say that it's going to get difficult to get people to stay home for 1 day as soon as they feel better. And, you know, the facts are Robin Kerner here. She's a clinical psychologist at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital in New York City. She's here to help explain why we won't stay home from work. But, you know, there's some pretty serious facts involved here. 71% of Americans admit in a recent study that they go to work when they're sick because they're either A, afraid of losing their jobs, or B, they feel like they're too busy and they'll fall behind. And we also have 57 million working Americans who don't have paid sick days. So,
Robin, they can't even take a sick day.
That's exactly where they do, but they'll be unpaid. So, Robin Kerner, you're a clinical psychologist. What's beyond here? Is it truly just unfounded anxiety that's keeping people going to work when they're ill?
Well, you're talking about two different cultures. We have the corporate culture, which is the external. We have companies not giving people time off. You know, about half of the companies that we work for don't give us any sick time. But then we also have those of us who have sick time aren't even taking it. On average, we don't even take three days.
You get paid sick time, so why aren't we taking it?
Well, we look at our work ethic. Where does that come from? So for many of us, we get that at a very young age. You know, we look at our parents. How are our parents working? You know, do we have the workaholic father typically? And then what do we do in response to that? Do we become a workaholic, to become, you know, lazy and take the other extreme? You know, how are we going to deal with that?
You know, Wenzel was also talking about people getting back to school in the fall. That's the time when you really want to bear down. That's when people take exams. There's a report out of Emory University that 50 kids have been isolated to a dorm right at the beginning of school.
With food delivered to them,
Well, lucky them, getting their food delivered. But more seriously, the question is, you know, what is driving us? Why are we working like this? You know, is it for the money? Is it for social connection? A lot of us, our only social connections are at the office, and we need that kind of contact with other people. So if we're not going to get it in our personal life, we're going to go to work. You know, when there's an emergency going on, for instance, you know, if there were a flu pandemic of some sort, you're telling people to isolate is sort of the opposite psychological thing that you want to be doing. It's a little bit of an oxymoron here.
But you know, there are things which are emotionally traumatic. Maybe you're afraid of snakes, but that doesn't cause more epidemiological problems.
Right,
I mean, we're talking about something which could actually help spread H1N1 simply because people either, A, their kids won't stay home from school and they won't stay home from work.
Right.
So it could
seriously... Well, it's hard for the kids to stay at home from school if you don't have time off to take care of them.
Right.
You know, and a lot of this breeds itself. If you work in an office where the culture is come to work sick, you know, prove that you're the hardest working person here, and you get praised for that and even, you know, rewarded financially and bonused for how hard you're working and for perfect attendance. I think we've all seen that advertised at some companies. You know, that's not going to be an office culture where people are going to feel like it's okay to take the day off. And there is the reality right now with the economy that people fear that if I'm not indispensable, if they can manage for a week without me, I'm not going to have a job next week.
Well, here's a work culture question. If you wear a mask to work, are you insulting all of your coworkers?
I don't think so. You know, I think that that would be a respectful thing to do. If the government is telling me that I need to wear a mask, and also if my boss, if my leadership, you know, this starts from above. So, you know, what are the people who lead the organizations doing? You know, are they wearing their masks?
So if a boss says, listen, sends out an all-company email saying, listen, everyone, it's perfectly okay to wear a mask. Friday will be mask day. and everyone, please, if you're sick, stay home. Are people really going to take that seriously, that kind of thing?
No, because a lot of people are still in denial, you know, as Dr. Wenzel said, about the seriousness of this illness. You know, Americans do tend to be more complacent, and it's not until they start seeing the horrible pictures on the news and all the terrible stories that they're possibly going to wake up and pay attention to those.
Well, maybe that's the problem. The prescriptions from the federal government and the CDC aren't definitive. Maybe they should say, you must stay home. That would give the bosses and the corporate culture license to basically implement something that's likely to work. What we're describing here is never going to work.
Well, that potentially would help because that would put external pressure on us internally. I mean, there would still be this internal psychological struggle, you know, about what am I going to do if I don't go to work? You know, what's my purpose today?
I don't know. If I have the flu, I'm not struggling much. I stay home.
Glad to hear that.
Let's hope we don't get both flu at the same time this week. We are asking our listeners, 8778-MY-TAKE, mytakeofthetakeaway.org. What are you doing, Robin Kerner? What are you doing to avoid the swine flu?
Well, I'm not shaking hands, that's for sure.
Yeah,
I don't know about the cinnamon.
She's got a bag over her head, too.
Yeah, but no mask today.
This is Christopher Robbins calling from Austin, Texas. I have two children in school. From my perspective, the threat of H1N1 flu to the general population seems a bit overstated. The mortality rates seem to be lower than regular flu, and I don't expect to do anything more than I normally would to protect myself from illness.
That's one of our listeners calling
false alarm.
In. Absolutely.
False alarm.
Robin Kerner, she's a clinical psychologist at St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital in New York City. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org. See ya.